The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lightning strikes once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you.
Hello, and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the flight attendants, from the pilots, and because I'm an avid traveler, I bring you stories from traveling around the world. I just got back from Honduras. Nice little trip to a beautiful island called Roatan in the Caribbean in Honduras. Great, nice little getaway trip, but I am back now, and I'm back with a new episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. This episode is called Lightning and Bombshells. I have a bombshell story to start off with, and then the middle of this episode is chock full of lightning stories. I'd been asking mainly pilots if they'd been struck by lightning. I personally have never been struck by lightning in the aircraft and have a certain curiosity about it, like hearing those stories just for the drama of it. And surprisingly, quite a few of these lightning stories are actually funny. Who would have thought? So we're going to start off with the bombshell story, then all the lightning stories, and then at the end of the episode, I have what I consider a bombshell announcement, at least something I'm very excited about. So we'll get to that at the end. So let's start off with the first bombshell.
Lightning strikes once in a lifetime for you.
Recently on a trip, one of my flight attendant co-workers was pulled aside by the TSA because of a suspicious reading on their testing machine. Well, it tested fully positive for TNT, and because of that, her bag had to be fully searched, taking about 20-25 minutes. The moral of the story is be careful what you pack. It was a glycerin suppository whose chemical makeup was very similar to TNT.
Which is a little scary.
A little bit scary. So we didn't want to come up with a incriminating nickname for her. So her name for the rest of the trip was the Blonde Bombshell.
When I was very young, I thought I was the only one who didn't know where I began. The world around me ends. Life is beautiful, you say. All you gotta do is wait, and it will hit you. Cause you know that lightning strikes.
Okay, I'm flying downwind in Salt Lake City. Nighttime, about 11,000 feet. It's dark outside. The radios start going staticky, which means we're getting into a lot of precipitation where lightning's possible. And all of a sudden, and a huge explosion, sounds like a bomb just went off in the cockpit. A bolt of lightning hits the front of the nose about 3 feet in front of us.
What kind of airplane was it?
Either a 757 or a 767. We flew both of them. So it was so bright and it was so loud, the only thing I could think of is maybe my windshield was blown apart. So I kept my eyes closed until I knew that the wind wasn't hitting my face, in case it did blow the windshield. Open up my eyes, and all I could see is all these funky colors, like you stared into the sun too long. So we had to turn our thunderstorm lights on, make it bright in here, get the eyes adjusted. Tower had its turn base. It kicked off the auto throttles. The speed started coming back. Some lights were flickering. We got everything back on. And we just said that if the airplane or the eyes weren't good enough, we would just go around and wait till our eyes were adjusted again or make sure we had the airplane, you know, back to normal. So we turned base, turned final, got the eyesight back, and we landed. And we taxi in, get up, get at the gate. Everybody's getting off the airplane, and they all said they thought that the airplane was blowing up. Well, there's a lot of people who are getting off towards the back of the airplane, and they thought that it was really loud, and they said, where did it hit? I said, about 3 feet in front of us, right on top of the nose. They said it sounded like it was back there because it was so loud. So the flight attendant, who's getting off at the very end, comes walking up, and he said, Eric, what happened? And I said, we got hit by lightning on the nose of the airplane. He said, it was so loud, I thought we got, like, blown up in the back by a bomb. And he said, I peed my pants. So every time we see each other, he looks at me, and he says, you remember that story, don't you? And I said, I won't say anything, I promise.
Does he know that lightning strikes once in a lifetime for you? Once in a lifetime for you.
You were struck by lightning?
Yeah, I was struck by lightning. What happened was we had just finished digging a ditch in Via Catalina for the drainage.
Yeah, Catalina what?
In Chinandega, on the road to Honduras.
In Nicaragua.
And we just finished digging this ditch, basically to take rainwater from the field above and sweep it away from the village. And we ran over to a makeshift hut we had built with maybe seven or eight pieces of tin and just some boards. And so we're standing under this, and, you know, like in Nicaragua, the storms kick up pretty hard and pretty fast. So that apparently some of the tin came loose, so I grabbed up, and because there were like 30 people under the little shed, I grabbed the tin to keep it from flying off. Eventually what happened was,
holding tin in a storm?
Yeah, I was holding the tin to keep the wind from blowing away, to keep everybody getting wet, and there was lightning strikes everywhere. So basically what happened was, I'm holding the tin down and there's lightning striking everywhere, and there's so much static electricity in the air, every time lightning hits, everybody gets a little jolt of electricity, but it's just a little snap, like from a Bic lighter that with electric starts. Yeah. Well, anybody who was like near the roof was getting shocked.
And what did it feel like?
Just like a little tap of electricity. It wasn't anything. No. And in fact, we had a game going on between all the guys, like who could hold their hands closest to the tin without pulling back every time the lightning struck. So anyway, there was another guy, and this is when the story turns really crazy. There was another guy, and he only had one leg, and he had a prosthetic on the other leg. And this might have been what saved our lives, is that the prosthetic leg that he had, when the lightning struck the roof that I was holding on to, the lightning passed through me and jumped to him. Well,
how did it feel like when it passed through you?
Well, I don't really remember, because it knocked me down on the ground. I'm just pretty much like, I don't remember anything except getting up. Well, I guess I was. And what happened was that the lightning, because anybody, like, when you get struck by lightning, the most dangerous part is the connection between the legs of the ground. You have to have a closed circuit.
Okay, so there was another guy.
Right, okay, there was another guy with a prosthetic leg. And so the lightning hit the roof, and it came down through me because I was the closest object holding on to the tin. And then I was standing next to the guy with the prosthetic leg, and it jumped from my chest, apparently, this is what everyone says, into him.
Could they see it?
Yeah, they like arced between us and then went into him. And the only reason that nobody got seriously injured is because when it went into him, it couldn't complete the circuit. Like, it could only go into one leg, but from what I understand with electricity, like, it has to ground in order to hurt you. So the other leg obviously is plastic, so it couldn't ground, so he was safe.
But it was plastic, not metal, like how they
Yeah, it was just a plastic leg. Wow. And so he got knocked down, and I got knocked down. And basically I got up, and I went over to one of my older friends. He's like 50 years old. Guy that's friends with our family. And I said, dude, I just got struck by lightning. You need to get everybody on the bus. And I got on the bus, and my chest hurt so bad. It was crazy.
But you had no lasting effects from it?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
all around, saying that the time is now. I was closing in, but was it just imagining? Don't believe the lies you said. You gotta keep your eyes open. When it hits you, you will know.
This next story isn't about lightning, but it's in the same theme because, I don't know if you've been listening to the song at all that goes in this episode, and the song is talking about when lightning strikes. It's more like when something exciting happens, something amazing happens, the coincidences of life. And I got a couple of those stories in this episode because since I've been doing this podcast, maybe it's just putting yourself out there. I don't know, but it seems like there's a lot more lightning strikes, a lot more coincidences, a lot more amazing things happening. So this flight attendant, who I've flown with a few times, not that often, her husband found my show somehow on the internet and tells his wife, who's a flight attendant, you know, you should listen to this. And like most women were busy. She was like, well, I don't know. I want to listen. He's like, here, listen. So she puts iPod on. She starts listening and she realizes, hey, I know that girl. So when I see her, she's like, oh, my God, you know, my husband wanted me to listen to this thing. And then I realized it was you. And so since then, she's been so great. She takes her iPod and she's always introducing people to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. And she had just met this pilot. We had him listen to a little bit of the show. And then I happened to fly with them like 2 days later. And what's amazing about that is normally when I approach crew members to get stories, I have to explain what a podcast is, you know, what I do, who I am. And it's really nice for someone to be already prepared. You already knew, you know, had the whole concept. And then this is his story.
All right, this is my story. I just been introduced to the Betty iPod stories the day before. That was a hilarious concept, and I couldn't imagine that I would ever have a story that I could possibly tell that you would like. So, we're down in, I think it's West Palm Beach. I'm on my OE for initial operating experience on the 757, and I go out to my first official outside walk around by myself without adult supervision. And I get out to the back of the aircraft, and there's the Andy Gump guy downloading the flight from the previous flight, and he's all excited and he's jumping up and down on the back of his truck and he's pointing at my hip where my cell phone is and he's yelling in something in Spanish and I can't understand him. And I asked him, do you need a cell phone? And he says, no, cell phone. He's pointing up at the top of the bottom of the airplane. So I look up in there, and up where the Andy Gump was connected and downloading the waste, there is a cell phone.
I didn't even know what you were saying by Andy Gump.
Blue fluid.
The blue fluid. The toilet.
I didn't know you called that.
There is a hot pink cell phone wedged into this thing.
Like a razor?
Well, it could have been a razor, and it was in the open position as if it had been being used.
Yes, it's fine.
And we couldn't get it to go up, we couldn't get it to go down, and now the aircraft can't go anywhere because we can't seal this thing back up. So I run back up to the flight station to call for...
Give me a glove.
So I run back up to the flight station to call maintenance because I can see this is going to cause a delay. And my line check airman's up there. I said, hey, you're not going to believe this story. Trish is there. She comes running up and she says, wait a minute, don't tell it yet because it might be a Betty story. So I go to start telling it and she's all, oh, that was such a story. Long story short, we get the phone out.
Who got the phone out?
We had to call Atlanta. Atlanta called for contract maintenance. The guy comes out, briefs the captain that he's going to extract it, doesn't tell him how or who's going to do it. He comes back up. He's perfectly clean. He's filling out the logbook saying object removed, completed. I look out the window and there is a person covered in blue fluid and storming off the ramp. So I figured that this is the guy who removed the phone. And long story short, we got to push back on time and now I have my Betty story.
What did you do with the phone?
I don't know. I imagine it got thrown away. All I can think is somebody was in the restroom using it when they weren't supposed to be.
lost control of it, and down it went, and never reported it missing until we extracted it.
And another note to that, things can be amazing, lightning strikes. I get a lot of emails from a lot of people, and I do apologize to people who email me. I know it takes me a long time, usually a month, month and a half, 2 months to get back to people, but I'm sorry, there's just a lot of emails. But every once in a while, one of them really sticks out, just like in the subject. And I got one from a listener who happened to be someone I dated in college. Would you believe that he happened to find my show and recognize my voice? And we did. We dated a few times in college. But the fact that he found the show, he recognized my voice, it's just amazing. It's just like another lightning strike. Now let's get back to the real lightning.
You will know that lightning strikes once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you.
My experience was in the Air Force when I was flying the F-4. And at the time, I was a dart tow. I was a dart tow. Now, in the Air Force, as a young lieutenant, there's certain jobs certain guys won't do, and I wanted to do anything for flight time, so I volunteered for a dart tow duty. And what that is for the aerial gunnery, it's towing an aerial gunnery target. So you're going to take off with something hooked to the wing that you're going to deploy on about 1,000 foot of cable that other guys are going to come in and shoot 20-millimeter cannons on.
So you're basically you're connected to the target.
Yeah, and guys are going to come in with live rounds and shoot at me.
Well, no wonder people don't want that job.
Well, so I was a nuts lieutenant who just decided he wanted to do anything to fly. Well, the bad part about it being a dart tow is they generally take the aircraft that's not fully mission capable and has some problems that is okay to fly, but you wouldn't want to run a normal sortie with. And in my case, this one didn't have a radar that was operational. So we were over the gunnery ranges over the shore in North Carolina, out over the water where the bullets won't rain down on the people. That's out over the Atlantic. Generally, you take off, you wait until you're not over a populated area, and then you deploy this dart. It's a 38-foot-long arrow.
It's actually an arrow.
We deployed the dart just as we were hitting a cloud layer, and it deployed very nicely 1,000 feet back. But because we didn't have a radar, we didn't realize we ran into a thunderstorm. Not knowing a lot about electricity or whatever doesn't really matter. You need to know that a 1,000-foot metal cable connected to a metal 38-foot flying through a thunderstorm really increases the possibility of lightning strike. Well, if we'd gotten a flash, if we'd gotten a rumble before we went into the clouds, we probably would have altered course, but In this case, this storm had just decided to develop as I hit it. Well, as we're pressing into this storm, the only thing I see out of the front of the dash is what some people refer to as ball lightning. It just looks like a softball heading toward your aircraft, and it's like science fiction. It's like science fiction. It's just this glowing thing coming at you like a star. And I'll try to change the verbiage I used. What the heck was that out in front of us? We're in my backseater. In an F-4, we have a pilot and a navigator in the back. He leans forward and looks forward and says, "What the freak is that?" In the half a second it took for us to try to figure out what could be in front of us glowing, static electricity caused all the hair on our arms and our flight suits and everything in the cockpit to become charged. Now, in the list of good and bad things, that probably goes right into the bad thing category where you're going, why all of a sudden am I looking like one of those bad stories where the hairs are sticking straight up? And just before the thing hit my nose, every warning light in the cockpit, fire bell, anything that either made noise or told you you were going to die, illuminated and sounded simultaneously. Well, one loud crack, probably the loudest crack I've ever heard in my life, and people tell you you don't hear lightning in the air. In this case, I did. And I wasn't certain it hit the airplane, but the view from the cockpit was... the best visual picture I could give you would be to be... if you're inside a bottle that was smashed but maintained its shape. That kind of cracked looking... everywhere you look, there's lightning going in every different direction, connecting, forming shapes. And it's from the nose of the aircraft to the back of the aircraft. And every warning light, every board, and my... intercom is out, but my backseater's dropped his mask, and all I can hear his screaming is, "Get us out of here!" In words to that effect. Well, as the lights went back out, and I was relatively certain both of my engines were operating and that the aircraft was in a flyable state, I felt the only maneuver I could do to successfully leave the thunderstorm in an expeditious manner would be to roll inverted and pull for the ocean, which probably...
did you do that?
That's exactly what I did. I simply just rolled upside down and pointed the nose of the aircraft straight down, or what I believed to be straight down, because I no longer had any reference outside the aircraft, being in a cloud, being blinded by the lightning, and the gauge is still kind of wobbling.
And is your target still tailing behind you?
Well... interesting question. You, the target behind us has a 3G limit. Anytime you go more than a G, being the force of gravity, if you exceed, I think it was actually 4 Gs, that the wings that were made out of plywood would tend to snap. And being the last dart toe available, that was not actually any concern of mine at the time. And what happened to the dart was a nil consequence, but as I'm pointing straight down, the backseater, Mike, was screaming, "Cut the dart, cut the dart, cut the dart, cut the..." You get the impression. Well, as we come out of through about 10,000 feet, now we have to be very concerned about, because we're going very fast at this point, with no reference to the ground, through about 10,000 feet, you need to start thinking about the impacting the Earth. So I start applying a reasonable amount, about 6.5 Gs on the aircraft to avoid hitting the... we pop out of the bottom of the storm just off the shaft of rain. So we're in clear air, fortunately, not in the shaft that comes out of a thunderstorm. And we're in clear air and the airplane's responding and all the gauges and lights are starting to work normally. And our breathing is almost coming back from the marathon level. We start discussing, you know, he's concerned, is the airplane working? I'm moving the engines, throttle, everything's working. And now on the frequency, all the guys are going, "Where are you? Where are you?" Because I told them that was about 2 minutes away, and now all of a sudden I've done this Yahoo maneuver. I've been out of radio communications and all that. So we maneuver the aircraft to see if the dart toe is back there, and in fact the maneuvering has created the wings to fall completely off of the dart. It's totally gone. And but we're now in the airspace where the guys are orbiting, waiting to shoot on something. I asked them to come in and make sure the tank hasn't been blown off or a wingtip or something behind us that we can't really see, and nobody can see any burn marks or anything missing from my aircraft. So, well, we're going to cut the cable and head back. And one of the guys says, "Well, you know, we can still..." At the end of the dart toe was about an 8-inch diagonal that was basically a radar reflector, so that the aircraft had a radar that would lock on and give ranging so they could... it was basically the gun sight would be more accurate. I can see the 8-inch square on the back of the pipe can we shoot on that? I figured, what the heck? So I went into the orbit, and everybody came in shooting at the pipe instead of the 8-foot diameter, and actually a couple guys hit it. So, but that, you asked about lightning, and that's the closest.
That was like an exciting day at work.
It was one of the days I remember very well. One of the days I remember. I'll fly like a bird. Turn my head around, take me somewhere I belong. No, I want to see how it's really meant to be. Life is beautiful, you say. If you look, you'll find it's there. When it hits you, don't let go.
Now, at the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that I had a bombshell announcement. Well, a personal bombshell announcement, but actually it has to do, in a way, with all of you. And thanks to all of you. I actually, as of yesterday, signed a contract for a book deal. So there's going to be a Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase book. Who would have thought in a million years I would have a book deal? It's so exciting, and it's all because of the podcast. It's all because of the people listening to the podcast, people who told other people to listen to the podcast. It's just thrilling for me personally. And I never thought, well, I guess you just never know where things are going to take you. I wasn't thinking book deal. People over the past year that I've been doing the podcast have been sort of like, why are you doing this? You know, you don't get paid. It's sort of like a little second job that is sort of time consuming. You don't make any money. And I always explained, well, it's because of the goodwill. I get all these good emails. People seem to really like the show. You know, it sort of takes on a life of its own. And now, look, because of the podcast, it has provided a new opportunity. And it's amazing to me how powerful the internet is. It's basically almost like a force of nature in its own right, like the lightning strikes. You know, it's just, actually, I have another cute little funny lightning strike story that has to do with the book deal. When they first approached me, the publisher, which is amazing in itself. I don't think many people get approached from the publisher. You know, it's usually the other way around. So that was really exciting. And they sent me a sample contract. And immediately I started getting a lot of advice from friends and family. And most of it, it's interesting how things immediately somehow seem to go to the negative aspect. They're all like, oh, you need to get a lawyer, you need to get an agent, they're probably trying to take advantage of you. And I wasn't getting that feeling at all. So I didn't want to get a lawyer. I didn't want to get an agent. I don't know anything about publishing or literary contracts or anything like that. So I was sort of in a quandary, really feeling out of my element, you know, I don't know anything about it. So what I wanted to do on the aircraft was get on the PA and say, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a lawyer on board, could you please ring your flight attendant call button? Because you know there's lots of lawyers on board, and you know they have nothing else to do for the next 4 hours. But I didn't do that, of course, but I was telling that story to these two gentlemen who were sitting across from my jump seat as I was taking off on a long flight, like 4-hour flight. And I said, so are either of you a lawyer? And they said, no. And I said, well, what do you do? And the one gentleman said, well, I'm an author. And I was like, holy cow, that's perfect. So he was so nice. And if Dave, if you happen to be listening out there, thank you so much. This nice man, you know, what are the chances that exactly what I needed at that moment is sitting right across from me? He went through the contract line by line and explained actually how I felt, that, you know, they weren't trying to take advantage of me. It was a straightforward book deal contract, and he went over it line by line on the flight and told me, you know, maybe you should ask for this, or, you know, basically he was just so generous, and it was so amazing, and it was like another lightning strike. And since I've been doing the podcast, it seems like I've had a lot of good luck, a lot of amazing things happening, and I think it's just part of putting yourself out there And I'm so glad that I have, and I'm so glad that every single one of you has listened and helped bring it to this point. So what I'm going to end this episode with is in the song that's been going on, it's talking about lightning strikes once in a lifetime. Well, I hope that good lightning strikes more than once in a lifetime for all of you. And thank you very much for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time for Betty in the Sky with the Suitcase so we can travel the world together. Bye. Once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you. Lightning strikes. Once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you. Once in a lifetime for you. What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.